Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Hello and welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. I'm in a radio studio in Interlaken, the capital of the Bernese Oberland, and I'd like to introduce another broadcaster.
Yes, I'm Mike Parkin from Radio Bernese Oberland, from the heart of the Swiss Alps, broadcasting from Interlaken.
And still another broadcaster next to him.
Hi, I'm Rosemary Schmucker, and I'm Mike's assistant on occasion. His fall guy, actually.
And we're talking about a program which has been on the air for many, many years called Info Tourist. Mike, did you start that program way back when?
We started broadcasting in 1987. That was the start of Radio Bernese Oberland. And it sort of just happened, Bob.
And the important thing about Info Tourist is that the local language here is Swiss German, and most of the broadcasting is in Swiss German. But, Rosemary, your program is in English.
Our program is in English, and we do give tips for tourists. That's the whole idea behind the program, is that it is especially for tourists, so they know what to do, where to go, and what to see.
Well, let's find out a little bit about both of you first, because we can hear you have a North American accent. Be more precise.
Well, I was born in Jersey, but I was brought up...
New Jersey.
In New Jersey. Brought up in Ohio, and then I worked in New York City for 6 years before moving here to Rinkenberg near Interlaken.
We have something in common because I was born and raised in New Jersey as well. And Mike, you're from the UK.
I am from England, and I was born in North England in the county of Yorkshire, famous for its dogs and puddings. Mm-hmm. And I came over to Switzerland with my family, with my mother and my brothers, and we bought a small hotel just outside Interlaken. And I've been here ever since 21st of January, 9:15 in the morning, on that cold, cold winter in 61. And I started work with a jukebox firm in the mid-60s, starting fitting in the records in the jukeboxes and ordering the records. And those were the good old days of the good old pop music. I remember telling my boss, you know, there's a new group just come out in England called the Beatles. I think we should order some of those records. And I was working for that firm for 25 years, and with the music connection there, I got in touch with the new radio station, which was getting its feet, and when we got in connection there, I wanted to help them out with the music, and suddenly the idea about a tourist program came in, and with me speaking a little English, maybe with a Yorkshire accent, we got that on its feet.
Well, I have to comment, Mike, to interrupt you for just a moment, that your taste in music has now been explained to me, because you have a wonderful feel for music, and I wonder, how does he know so much about music? You pick the right title at the right time to go with just the right set of circumstances, so you've explained that. Did you have prior broadcasting experience before you started the show?
Broadcasting experience, no, but... with the music.
You do now.
Oh, yes, 17 years, every day without break. And coming back to Rosemary, though, the difference in the accents, we've got Rosemary with a touch of the American and my touch of Yorkshire English, and we have our difficulties, don't we, Rosemary?
We on occasion.
Sort of the tomato.
Yeah.
But we get around.
But that's the spice of life. That's what makes it interesting.
But it all works out fine. We have sort of the same wavelength, I think, on the whole.
We harmonize.
He talks about journeys. I say vacation. He goes on holiday, but he doesn't go on holiday.
But
never missed just a day. How about that?
I was going to say, you're on in the evening. From 10 to 11 every night, and then on Saturday you have this show together from 9 to 10. And I have to interject that I had the great pleasure and honor to be invited on your show today. It was so much fun. That hour just flew by. I didn't know what happened to it. And you put a whole program together, or largely devoted to Switzerland and sound. I'm very, very grateful for that indeed. Rosemary, what is the typical kind of information that people can get if they tune in to Info Tourist? And we have to say, already at this point that you're live online, live streaming, so that you can hear the program live right on the internet. What are the typical kinds of things, the tips that people can get?
Well, first of all, the weather forecast. That's always important for tourists, and the road conditions. And there's usually some information about the money, what the rate of exchange is. And then there's always some sort of excursion tip. And we have a lot of events on, whatever is happening at the moment.
You even talk about the movies and concerts, everything that's going on.
Movies, concerts, what have you. We've got all sorts of information. And then besides that, we usually have some sports information, what's happening that people might be interested in. And we always find odds and ends to talk about.
Yes, and we definitely mustn't forget the new kid on the block, Carly Boy. Carl Goss, he's an English guy from Ipswich. And
this is a weird story. He contributes directly over the internet to you, doesn't he?
The story behind Carl is simply he loves the Bernese Overland. Mm-hmm. Now, he works for radio in England, and I don't know how he finds the time, but he sends us some fantastic stories, memories of his visits.
Audio productions, aren't they?
Audio productions, and daily we bring a five-minute cut-off from Carl, and they are so amusing. His British humor is just fantastic, and the information he gives out. Mm. We love Carl because he loves the Bernese Oberland.
Yeah. Where is your following? Who are your listeners? Do you have any demographics on who these people are and where they are?
Well, we are interactive on the internet. We broadcast on www.radiobeo.ch, and you can listen in to us around the world. And, well, I made a check last August, and we had over 500 emails just for InfoTourist.
And off the internet.
Off the internet, yes. And of course, you can receive us here in Switzerland, in the region. We broadcast using 10 transmitters.
On FM.
On FM, yes. That's right. And we're also in 12 cableways around the canton of Bern, the whole canton of Bern, including your Emmental, Bob.
What about the listeners? You mentioned a lot of people from the UK. Does that tend to be the largest foreign audience?
Well, we've got lots of listeners up in Canada, surprisingly enough.
And that is surprising. Any explanation?
We receive a lot of feedback from America, from Washington, from California. Explanation about the Canadians, well, I suggest it would be the time. 10 in the evenings here in Switzerland would
now
be midday.
The time is convenient for the Canadians. And besides that, I think we have a lot of Canadians and young people coming to Interlaken, particularly because of the campers, the young fellas. We've got Balmers, which is very well known throughout the States and in Canada, well, throughout the world.
The hostel.
The hostel that's so well known. It's, I think, one of the most well known. And then, too, in Brenigan, we have a lot of young people. And
quite a lot of feedback from listeners listening over the air on FM. And we have also feedback from locals. Locals.
Yeah, there are a few locals listening, aren't they? And English is widely understood and spoken here.
Quite a lot of them use this for learning English.
Yeah, that too.
And they've got the American and English, British English. So
there's
a
lot of local Swiss growing up with a Yorkshire accent.
I'd be careful how you say that.
Rosemary, incidentally, we didn't hear the story of how you came to the program originally. You've been here almost from the beginning, but how did you hook up with Mike?
That was another long story.
They're always long stories.
I knew somebody who knew Mike and who knew that I was teaching English at the time and thought I might be interested and asked me if I was interested. And I was introduced to Mike, and it turned out well, and they felt my voice came over fine on the radio. And before you knew it, we were working together, and we've had our fun over the years. And
the honey-voiced Rosemary. These are the sort of thanks letters we get.
Have you had any special moments over the years doing the program? Any special guests, people who, or in events that you remember?
Well, one unforgettable moment for myself was doing a New Year's program, and suddenly I had a telephone call from the president of Switzerland.
He just called in.
Who was that at the time?
To say Happy New Year, and that was Adolf Ogi.
From Kandusteg, one of the local boys. Yeah.
And then we also had him in the studio.
We had him in the studio, too. And he was a very good guest, and we really enjoyed that. And as long as he was in the federal council, he called us regularly to wish a Happy New Year, which was very nice.
Well, he's now a United Nations official promoting sports.
Yeah. He's back and forth very often now, going underway for his friend Kofi Annan.
I know the two men are very close. They've had many meetings over the years, have a very good relationship.
Yes, and they go also hiking here in the Bernese Oberland together.
And Kofi Annan was a student at Geneva University, let us not forget. He knows Switzerland firsthand, too. We have to recall that the Bernese Oberland has a very special relationship with the English-speaking world. It was, of course, I go back to the 19th century, into the beginning of the 20th century, Sir Arnold Lunn, who was the man who pioneered skiing. Before this, there was nobody skied in the Bernese Oberland. Really, we have the British to thank for the opening of the Bernese Oberland to tourism.
Yes, he founded the slalom skiing up in Murren, and his son still lives up there.
Yeah. I've interviewed him.
Yeah, a great guy, and
we're still working on that. We're still working on that. We'd like to have Peter Lund once on the.
Yes, he's on our list.
And he's on our list.
He has an advanced age at the moment, but when I saw him a couple of years ago, he was still very fit.
He still went on the Inferno race,
which was created by his father.
Yes, this last year, so he's still doing okay.
And another guest on our list definitely would be, well, maybe Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, yeah.
She lives in Gstaad.
We're working on that.
We're working on that, too.
And our friend, Hedy.
It's Hedy Olden, who's also on our website here, Switzerland and Sound.
Yeah, she's helping us with that one.
Yeah. And just to finish the idea of who is here, I mean, the Switzerland and certainly Interlaken, I think at the Victoria Jungfrau Hotel, which was built for Queen Victoria, who initially never came, but the hotel is one of the great hotels of Switzerland. But then later on, especially during the wartime, Interlaken and the Oberland became well known and very much liked among North Americans and U.S. citizens in particular. They still are very faithful.
Yeah, they're very faithful. It's sometimes a problem with the rate of exchange. The dollar has been going down, which isn't good. But if the dollar is halfway decent rate of exchange, then we do have a lot of Americans.
If someone said to you, what when I come to the Bernese Oberland, the highlands of Canton Bern, where the Jungfrau is located, the Eiger, the Mönck, the famous mountains and everything else, and all the things that you've reported on over the years, each one of you, which would be your favorite thing to do? Or if someone said, I can do only one thing in the Bernese Oberland, what would you suggest they do? Mike?
Well, that would be depending, of course, on the weather, but on a fine summer day, I've got a secret excursion. I don't know if you know this one, Rosemary. Take the post bus from Meiringen and then go up on the Sustenpass Road and then turn left and go up the mountain on a private road using the post bus or private car and go up to that beautiful Englandalp. There's a beautiful little lake up there, and on a fine day, it is just one fantastic excursion.
That's an insider tip.
That's definitely an insider. On a dull day, of course, a must is the Mystery Park here in Interlaken.
That's the latest attraction. You'll also find that here on Switzerland and Sound, Eric von Däniken, and it is quite a sensation. Rosemary, what's your pick of the day?
Depending on the weather, no matter what the weather, of course, the Ballenberg Open Air Museum is worth a visit, and there's always something happening there.
Also here on the website.
Yeah. And a mountain, depending on the weather, if it's nice, a mountain, you can't miss any of the mountains. I wouldn't know which one.
So much to do.
Yeah, I wouldn't know which one to recommend. They're all they all have something special about them.
One slightly facetious question, if you can remember, we might be surprised by the answer. How many times have each of you been up to the Jungfraujoch? It's quite a trip up there. How many times have you done it, Rosemary?
I've done it a couple of times, and we even broadcast from the Jungfraujoch.
We had our 10th birthday broadcasting from the Jungfraujoch. We even slept overnight up there. That was one experience. I'll never forget that. I had a 2-hour country program on the Friday evening, and then on the Saturday, Well, I tried to sleep overnight, which was almost impossible at that height up there, and one heck of a headache the next morning.
And that wasn't from the altitude either, was it?
And we broke. To be quite truthful, no, you're correct.
And you had to celebrate. You had a right to do so. I mean, 10 years is an anniversary.
And we broadcast the Saturday's edition of InfoTourist direct from the Jungfrau. Poor old Rosemary was here down in the valley.
In the studio. I was in the studio, which was okay.
And I was surrounded by Japanese tourists. We had one great time in spite of my headache.
Before we go, there's another thing which I would think of immediately in the Bernese Oberland, which has become immortalized by Hollywood, and that is on Her Majesty's Secret Service, the James Bond movie. Blofeld made his home in this beautiful round building perched atop a mountain peak in the Bernese Oberland. That's a real place, and it really exists.
Oh, well, the filming, the 1969 film on Her Majesty's Secret Service, that really was excellent for the region there. So unforgettable. I remember watching them filming that.
Who was James Bond at that time?
Timothy Dalton. Huh?
No,
it was the other fella. The one that only did George Lazenby.
George Lazenby.
The Australian.
He only made one film, and that was it.
But that's all it took for the Oberland.
Yeah, that too is really an extremely interesting excursion going up.
That's the Schildhorn Piz Gloria.
Yeah. And that starts in Stechelberg and goes up, and each one of the sections of the cable car is really... Wow.
And of course, one of our favorite InfoTourist songs is from that film. We have all the time in the world with Bill Satchmo. Memories of that film with Diana Rigg, with Telly Savalas, and of course with George Lazenby.
Okay, we have to close up, but I think we've whetted the appetites for people, even if they're armchair travelers. If they want to know more about Switzerland, and in particular, more about the sights and sounds of the Bernese Oberland, it's as good as being here, right here on the internet, live streaming, and your program, your daily evening program, Mike, is from 10 to 11 at night, Swiss time. That's 6 hours earlier, New York time, Eastern time in the U.S., and just 1 hour earlier in the U.K. And Rosemary, on Saturday morning?
On Saturday morning, I'm live in the studio.
Okay. And you're only on Saturdays?
Only on Saturday.
On tape throughout the week.
Yeah, the rest of the week I'm on tape.
And you're interactive. You take email, you dialogue with listeners, so you're really part of a family of listeners.
That's right. We like to keep it familiar. And if everybody should enjoy and have something to say, they can let us know.
We have another quiz 3 times a week, on Mondays, on Wednesdays, and on Fridays. And you can win a yodeling CD.
Okay, well, this is Bob Zanotti sitting in the studios of Radio Berner Oberland in Interlaken. But I'm going to let these two people sign off in the way that they're used to doing.
Well, what do we say? We hope you enjoy listening to us, and we hope you'll tune in once and listen in to InfoTourist on Radio Bernese Oberland.
This is Mike Rosemary and Carly Boy signing off and wishing you all, wherever you may be around this world of ours, a very enjoyable evening or weekend.
I just want to give you a few seconds of the noise that we have in the place I'm standing right now. Obviously, there is very little noise. In fact, I would say absolutely none whatsoever. This is one of the most peaceful places I know in Switzerland. There are many of them, but this one is absolutely beautiful, and it's called Zinal. Z or Z-I-N-A-L. It is in the French-speaking part of Canton, or the state of Valais. And with me is Aubrey Diem, Professor Aubrey Diem, who's a retired Canadian lecturer at the University of Waterloo in Ontario. Over the years, I've been up here to Zinal talking to Aubrey on a number of occasions. Actually, yours, Aubrey, is an interesting story in itself, and that will appear elsewhere on this website. But you were born in Detroit, Michigan, grew up there, but emigrated to Canada, where you spent most of your adult life in North America. And then you decide to come to Zinal in Canton Valley in Switzerland. When was that?
Well, 67, I was here, and I was looking it over because I wanted to spend a year sabbatical with my family here, and I saw an article in the New York Times on the travel section, and they were telling about a new ski area which was opening up in Switzerland. So I came here 67 after I had spent the whole summer with a group of students from University of Waterloo in Eastern Europe. And the trip was over. I was exhausted from being 6 weeks in Eastern Europe, and I came here and I checked it out, what I could see, and there's not much, but the mountains are just fantastic. The Weisshorn is over 4,500 meters.
That's one of the local peaks.
Right above the village, and you see it all.
You can even see the Matterhorn from here, right?
Yes, but you get your best views when you take the cable car up to the restaurant where the ski area is, because the ski area is up to 2,800 meters, and there on the way up you have this fantastic view of the Valais Alps, and you see the Matterhorn, and you see the Weisshorn and the Dent Blanche, Obergabelhorn. All these peaks are over 4,000 meters.
This is an interesting place because it's definitely within French-speaking Canton Valais, western or southwestern Switzerland, but I think occasionally you hear some, or rather often you hear German here too. It's a very popular resort with the German Swiss as well.
German Swiss and Germans, because it sort of fits in the German myth of quaint little villages somewhere.
But they're not purpose-built.
No,
this is the way they are.
No, nothing is. There's a few small apartments and some chalets, but nothing, no big apartments or no big hotels. They're family hotels. Nothing here in Zinal has been really built expressively for tourism and tourism alone. Whatever's been built serves also the little community of 100, 150 people who live here.
We see a lot of the very, very typical dark wood chalets of this particular part of Switzerland, but also, which I think is very, very typically French, the French influence. We're looking, for example, at a restaurant called La Ferme, the farm, and it is complete stone construction. It's a beautiful rustic building. That's also typical here.
It is a place where at the turn of the century, when the English aristocracy came here to summer, not to winter, they would come by mule here. The mules were boarded in the barn as well as the farms for the big hotel in the background, which served the English aristocracy.
We're just passing above us here. We have to walk up a little bit. There's an old church. This is a very strongly Roman Catholic part of Switzerland.
Yes, its Valais is very Catholic, and it's also bilingual, and I'm quite amazed at the
bilingual
lack of
German and French.
Yeah,
bilingual
German, yes, German, Swiss German, it's a dialect. I'm really amazed at the lack of problems between both Catholics and non-Catholics.
But they get along very well
and
here.
And also French-speaking and German-speaking. It doesn't seem to be an issue at all in the Canton of Valais.
Well, this is something I know personally that you've told me before attracts you about Switzerland, how well it works and how so many different kinds of people can live peacefully side by side.
I think that's very important. In many ways, it's a microcosm of Europe because it has the Italian-speaking area, the French-speaking area, the Romance-speaking area, and the German-speaking area, German being the largest. So and also you should realize that today there are many, many immigrants here from all over the world, and they're living in Switzerland, but Switzerland's a very small country. It's only 6 million population of real Swiss, and about a million of the people, that makes it 7 million, they come from elsewhere.
The highest foreign population in Europe, as a matter of fact, yeah. Let's if we can, look inside the church here if it's not occupied. Oh, it's beautiful. The churches in this part of Switzerland are absolutely classic.
What's interesting is Zinal never was inhabited totally the year round until after the Second World War. Then they began to come here ones and twos, and they began to live here. Before that, it was a mayen, or a place where you would go from the lower villages in the summertime with your cows. The kids would come, there was a school here, there was a church here, and then the cows would go up into the mountains, the families would stay down in Zinal, and then at the end of the summer they would go back back to where they were living, such as Lierre, Vissois.
Yeah, and in the 30s and 40s, there was a lot of investment in infrastructure, road construction, also partly because of the military interests and defense interests, but that certainly did a lot to open up areas like Zinal.
And also, the road up from the valley, which is Sierre, is a very difficult road, and they had to improve that.
Yeah, well, this church is very simple, though. It certainly bespeaks very simple taste. There's no grand elegance, and obviously it was a major sacrifice for the local people hundreds of years ago to even put this up. But it's quite cozy, it's quite warm and friendly, making a lot of use of local materials like stone, a great use of stone, which we find in neighboring northern Italy as well. They have a lot of that in common, and also the wood, which is so plentiful. Aubrey, the one thing, of course, which I always associate with Zinal, actually two things. In the summer, it would be hiking and fantastic walks, and in the winter, it's skiing. I know you're an avid ski fan, but you're also an avid walker. Tell us a little bit about both, some of the classic hikes in the summer and, of course, the skiing in the winter.
Well, I'll start in the summer because last fall I was with a friend of mine who's a geography professor at Augsburg in Germany, and we went up to Arbitetta. It's about 2,700 meters, and it was in the fall, so everything was changed up above. The trees were yellow as you get higher. You even saw the colors disappearing, and the berry bushes were all transformed. And there was about five people walking that day. It was a perfect fall day, very warm. And we went up to the cabin, which is at Arpitetas, and there was a couple. They came from elsewhere in Switzerland. They were the guardians for the week, and they asked us if we'd like something to eat, and we said, yeah, sure, and they brought out a fantastic vegetable soup filled with fresh vegetables, which they had taken up with them. And this is something that going there and coming back, it took us about 12 hours, but we didn't run up. We were not out to set any records. And of course, on the way back, we stopped a little bit.
You're not supposed to be stressed when you're hiking. That's not the idea. Yeah. It's supposed to be pleasant and enjoyable.
Well, that's it.
But also a skier's paradise. I know you do a lot of skiing in the winter.
People are coming here from all over Europe. I've seen and elsewhere. I've seen Brazilian, I've seen Turkish, Mexican skiing here. They don't
just
come in hordes.
Walking up a few stone steps here.
They don't come in hordes, but they come in ones and twos and groups. Common families come. It's mainly a family resort.
And the skiing is good.
The skiing is outstanding. I've skied many of the New England resorts and out west in Canada and the United States and also in Europe. And I like Zinal because it's very central. It goes up to 2,800 meters. You can ski down to Zinal, which gives you an elevation as high as anything in North America. And it's, of course, it's not the highest difference between top and bottom in Switzerland, but it's high enough. It's 7 kilometer run down.
Hiking, skiing, and peace and quiet, that characterizes Zinal. Do I take it correctly that most people live on tourism directly or indirectly?
I would say that all people here now live on tourism. They have a few cows. They're hobby cows. They're somebody who has a nice, you won't call them a herd, but a nice troop of cows, but they don't live on that. Mm. That's just extra. And they do it because of the love and the history of the valley when the cow was the most important means of producing some food for the locals.
And the atmosphere, as you said a moment ago, is very much family-friendly. Children are welcome to. It's a family resort.
It's very much family oriented, mm-hmm. and that's very nice. And because you can ski here, when you ski, everything is central. The children are not off somewhere where you don't know where they are. They have to come right down to the restaurant to get down. And I've seen kids at 3 and 4 years of age skiing this slopes.
That's the time to start, even earlier.
in an incredible way.
Thank you both for telling us about Zinal above Sierre, S-I-E-R-R-E. In the French-speaking part of Canton, or the state of Valais, in southwestern Switzerland. I hope that everyone will have a chance to visit this most picturesque, beautiful, and very peaceful place. For Switzerland in Sound, this is Bob Zanotti.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.